Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday in the Colorado Capitol, the matter of homosexual marriage was discussed. It went under the term civil union. And of those who spoke against it, the most eloquent who gave the reason why, if you love your neighbor, you should oppose homosexuality, and also gave the gospel of Jesus Christ, was, was the person who testified. His name is Ken Scott, S-C-O-T-T, Ken Scott, and in fact, a state legislator, a Colorado senator, went up to him afterward and thanked him and said, in all his years hearing testimony, including from Christians, that was the most eloquent and understandable presentation of the gospel that had been ever given to any committee. And Joe Scott, this was in front of a packed house.
Yes, it was. Standing room only.
Right? At the former Colorado State Supreme Court chambers in the Capitol.
That's right.
And that room holds about 300 people. That's where we filmed Focus on the Strategy 2 in that same chambers. On the same day, 40 years later to the day, when Colorado's Republican Governor John Love decriminalized child killing in our state.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was there.
So your husband, could you tell him, maybe he's listening right now, he's busy, it'd be so great to have him here. Could you tell him that we said thank you for being the hero that he is?
I will. And he really was a hero yesterday. To get the gospel out in front of that many people who hate God, it was just a wonderful thing to have done.
Yeah, and homosexuality is an expression of rebellion against God. And if you love your neighbor, homosexuality has led to the tortured deaths of hundreds of thousands of people in America, millions of people around the world, and that is through alcoholism and drug abuse, which are through the roof among homosexuals, and domestic violence, which is epidemic out of control, and suicide, and murder-suicide, all of which are epidemic in the homosexual communities. And Joe, for years they said, well, that's because Christians don't like homosexuals.
Oh, that's not true.
Well, give me a break. Hollywood and every aspect of our mainstream culture mocks Christians and puts homosexuals on a pedestal.
I don't see too many Christians killing themselves and beating their spouses
because homosexuality is approved of.
Right.
Or because our view is disapproved of.
Right.
Yeah. So if you love your neighbor, Jesus said, at the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female.
I think he was right.
He was right.
He was right.
And today, if you say God made us male and female, that's almost a hate crime.
Yeah.
Almost. In Colorado, remember they passed Senate Bill 200 a few years back, and it was signed by the governor? And in Colorado, it's against the law to publish a book or a pamphlet that would tend to discriminate against homosexuals. And Joe, the Bible, this show, but the Bible says that homosexuality is a perversion before God.
Yeah, it not only said that we couldn't publish one, but once published, any pamphlet or book couldn't even be on display if it had anything.
You can't display it, you can't distribute it, and that
right.
includes signs, brochures, books, and it includes radio or TV ads, billboards. That is a complete ACLU-approved censorship bill that was passed in Colorado and signed into law by Governor Ritter. So your husband, Ken Scott, who is a personhood activist, and he's helped with you. You guys have saved, Joe, hundreds and hundreds of babies at the local abortion clinics. Ken, and you guys, in fact, just this past week, there was a wonderful call that went out from Riverside Baptist Church, a
yes.
big, real good church in Denver, right on I-25.
Right.
Right near
23rd.
Right near where the Broncos play football.
Right.
Right, just a couple blocks away. And they called you guys to thank you. Why?
For sending the women to them that we talk out of abortion. At Planned Parenthood, we send them to them because they're Christ-centered. They give the girls the gospel. That's why we send them there.
Mm.
But for the first time ever, in my ministry has a crisis pregnancy center called me to say thank you, and we approve of your work, and we love what you're doing. That has never happened.
Well, and that's something, because for all these years that I've been involved, 20 years, more than 20 years, the personhood movement, the pro-life activists on the streets, the last line of defense at the abortion clinics, we've always thanked and supported the crisis pregnancy centers.
That's right.
And pretty much around the country, they have always condemned those pro-life sidewalk counselors who are there saving babies. You guys have saved about 1,000 babies in the last decade.
Yeah.
You and Ken, with the help of a handful of Christians here in the Denver metropolitan area.
That's true.
So they condemn the showing of the pictures, just like after World War II. Nobody wanted to see what the Germans had done to the Jews and other innocents. And with Emmett Till's funeral in Chicago, nobody wanted to see this young black child beat to a pulp by racists.
Right.
Nobody wanted to see it.
Nobody wants to see the truth, Bob.
Yeah.
But this particular crisis pregnancy center, Riverside Baptist, they understand that we need to show the truth, that those pictures save lives.
Yeah.
And instead of chastising me when I bring someone in by saying, oh, we had to put this mother back together, to which I always respond, well, it's a lot easier than putting the baby back together. They thank us and they respect and love us for what we do. And that's so refreshing.
Well, let me read to you, Joe, and to the audience what Ken Scott read to the committee in the Colorado Capitol and to that packed Supreme Court chambers where the Colorado State Supreme Court previously met. And this is from Romans chapter 1. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Your Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Joe, the FCC requires that we say all that.
Does it?
Yeah. So from Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 24, excerpting, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, because they rejected the Creator. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness.
And Bob, one of the reasons Ken read that is because most people think that only homosexuality is put down in the Old Testament.
In the Old Testament, because in between the two, God went to counseling.
And got sensitivity training.
Sensitivity training, just like our troops, combat troops in Afghanistan now. Literally, this very week, are getting sensitivity training to incorporate homosexuals in the front lines. How's that?
Wait till they find out how unsensitive the homosexuals are to them.
Yeah, insensitivity?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, tolerance, diversity. If you don't toe the line, if you're a Christian, you believe what Jesus Christ said, you'll be fired. They will fire you from your job you've held for 25 years with a smile on their face. And they'll be thrilled that you're gone.
That's right.
That's how much they believe in tolerance and diversity. They are the most intolerant people. And it's because homosexuality is approved of, not because most people like to hang out at homosexual bars.
No.
That's not why. It's because they recognize this as a rejection of Christian morality.
Right.
If Jesus Christ were here today, he would be crucified.
Again,
by the government, by the public, even by many of the churches. So the preachers who were there, the reverends, they testified how?
Well, all of the reverends, except for one, testified in favor of homosexuality and the civil unions.
Right.
Which would give them every right.
And Yeah.
That a married person has, only not the title.
Yeah. And Joe, you know, we've often pointed out that Focus on the Family, they have compromised on almost every issue, and including this. Over the years, over the last few years, they have supported civil union legislation in Colorado. You could always make an excuse or justify your compromised morality. So they said, well, if we don't support this, we're going to get something worse.
That's right.
So God forbid that they ever do such a thing again, but that's what they've been doing. They compromise. They want to regulate pornography. They want to regulate homosexual marriage. They want to regulate the killing of children.
That's right.
I mean, where does it end?
Well, once you regulate it, you've rooted it into the fabric of our culture.
Right. Yeah. So the only thing they wouldn't advocate more regulation on is donating to Focus on the Family.
Oh, that's for sure.
That would draw a line. Yep. There's no way we're going to agree to any regulation of that. But anything else, adultery, pornography, homosexuality, gross perversion, the killing of children, we will regulate it, because then we have a chance of passing some legislation. And even though the whole country is going to hell in a handbasket and we're greasing the skids, it looks like we're winning along the way.
That's so unfortunate, Bob.
Yeah, and it's what's happening. And so, Joe, that's what's happening in Washington, D.C., with some misguided pro-lifers around the world all gaga at the, you know, the Mike Pence, they say it'll defund Planned Parenthood, the H.R. 217 in Washington, the abortion funding bill. You know about that?
Bob, it makes me sick.
It does, that bill?
It does.
Yeah, but Joe, Mike Pence, he's a pro-life representative, U.S. rep from Indiana. In fact, George W. Bush spoke in Indianapolis this past year at a pro-life fundraiser, and Mike Pence introduced him, and he has a record, George Bush has a record of being against abortion funding.
Well, I'd like to know how that's possible when he gave Planned Parenthood or more Title X money to abortion than anyone before him. I think everyone combined.
George W. Bush did that? Well, that can't be, because you see, he's Representative Mike Pence's hero. George W. Bush is his political mentor as a pro-lifer. And Bush was against, he campaigned, I remember, 1999, he campaigned against abortion funding by tax dollars. And that's why, one reason why pro-lifers elected him like they elected Mike Pence. And then Mike's hero and mentor, George Bush, gave Planned Parenthood over $1 billion, billion with a B.
With a B.
Billion with a B. And that was hundreds of millions of dollars more than Bill Clinton was able to give to the abortion industry in 8 years of his administration. So when these guys say, we want your money, we want your votes, and we're against abortion funding,
well, so let's run and vote for them.
Beware.
Without looking.
Beware. So Mike Pence at AmericanRightToLife.org, right at the top of the homepage, there's this article, A Teachable Moment.
It's a great article, Bob.
It's a teachable moment, right?
Yes, it is.
It is. Pence's H.R. 217 abortion funding bill. And it points out here, in fact, it links to the bill itself, which pro-lifers generally don't do, sadly. It links to the bill itself. The bill is all of about 2 pages long, Joe. Mm-hmm. It is so easy to read. And it explicitly allows funding of all abortions done for any reason whatsoever at hospitals. And it also allows funding of the killing of some children in order to supposedly defund the killing of other children.
That is amazing. You know, Bob, this is what really gets me, is that it allows for abortion at hospitals. What's going to happen when hospitals find out how much money they can make by killing kids?
Wow. You know,
And then
selling their parts. That's what Planned Parenthood has, harvesters on site going through the aborted babies' bodies and literally dissecting them and selling lungs and brain and
that's one of the worst times for me at the mill every week, is when that guy shows up to pick up those baby parts so he can distribute them.
Yeah, and they go to University Hospital and wherever.
Colorado Medical School. And
yeah.
It's just
and this
so
has all
depressing.
been this has all been documented. It's been in testimony before committees at the Capitol in Colorado and elsewhere. This we even have the price sheets of how much they sell these babies' organs for.
Right.
Yeah. So hospitals, so here's when you do things that are immoral, the Bible says don't do evil that good may come of it. Because one reason is because it's wrong and God said don't do that. Another reason is because you're not smart enough. You are not smart enough to do something wrong and think you could control all the consequences.
That's right.
You're
no
just
one is.
Not smart enough. No one is. For one reason, there's not that much intelligence in the entire universe.
Right. And the battle we fight is not with flesh and blood. It's with spiritual forces, and they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. Our side is forever in a daze,
right,
Joe. So this is what Mike Pence's H.R. 217, that national right to life, and everybody is gaga over it. It's like their weak need.
Oh, yeah.
Their weak need over it. And so could you read just a couple excerpts from Title 10, Section 1009? Could you read, like, item C there? Could you start with that?
Does not apply with respect to a hospital?
Yeah, that's a verbatim excerpt
right
from the bill. So you can't pay for abortion, but this does not apply with respect to a hospital. And then here's another section. Does not apply with respect to an abortion from the result of rape. Joe, these exceptions, and there's an exception for life-threatening physical condition.
Does this sound familiar to you?
Yeah, these are the traitorous exceptions of rape and life that started the abortion holocaust to begin with and that effectively prohibit any ultimate victory. Because if people who are supposedly pro-life say, well, you can not only kill some kids, we won't stop you from doing that, but we'll even pay for you to kill some kids, and we'll make sure all the conservative judges that are on our side, that they will agree that it's okay to pay to kill those kids. They're teaching everybody that these kids don't have the right to life.
That's right.
That's what they're teaching everybody.
Plus, they're cleaning up the abortion industry.
They're cleaning it up. Instead of being abortions committed in scummy abortion clinics,
like Gosnell's.
Freestanding, like who's?
Gosnell's, that Dr. Gosnell that's in jail right now.
From Florida?
No, he's from Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
But was so egregious. I mean, to walk into that mill and see these babies whose necks have been cut. Well, the babies' necks are cut anyway.
Right, right.
They don't wait till they're born. They're still the same child with the same feelings.
So, Joe, here's predictable outcomes. If the immoral Pence bill tragically became law, here's predictable outcomes. And this is all predictable. When George W. Bush was running for president, Bob and you're live, we were strongly warning people he is a liar.
That's right.
He will give abortion funding. He'll give them hundreds of millions of dollars. He's just lying to you. He was a pro-abort. His whole family's pro-aborts. The women are all wives, grandmother, daughters, all open pro-aborts. And his father became a pro-lifer only to run for vice president with Ronald Reagan. So it was a political conversion, not because he thinks it's wrong to kill kids, but because he wants Republican money and votes.
That's right.
So here's the prediction. So this is all predictable. Just like his hero was against abortion funding and gave Planned Parenthood $1 billion, well, here's more predictable outcomes if this immoral bill, H.R. 217, became law. Claimed rapes in the United States will increase 1,000-fold.
Easily.
Claimed rapes.
Easily.
Because women go into abortion clinics or hospitals and they say, I was raped. And then they get the abortion, and Mike Pence's bill guarantees that tax dollars will be available to pay for it.
Right.
Because this is the bill by the pro-lifers.
Of course.
And the pro-life bill says you can pay for those. And that's it. It's only 2 pages long. There's no secret hidden code in there that makes it good. And then, Joe, here's another. So claimed rapes will increase 1,000-fold. claimed life-threatening pregnancies will skyrocket.
Just like they did in the beginning. Life-threatening, they meant not just physically,
yeah,
but emotionally.
Yeah. Joe, in Colorado, you needed three physicians to certify that you needed the abortion. And I have the paperwork from one of the abortions from 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the most shocking thing to read, how you got a psychiatrist and a physician, and they're saying things like, well, this woman, she already has other kids, and she likes to bring them skiing, and unless she gets this abortion, they will not be able to go skiing as often.
The poor kid.
Right.
You know, and those...
So these are the kinds of doctors who are pro-aborts, and this is the kind of thing that's going to happen. So also, there'll be many unintended consequences, including respectable hospitals ever in need of funding will receive a windfall of revenue from a newfound abortion market, and hospitals now will become increasingly vested in the maturing and long-term stability of the billion-dollar abortion industry. That's what's coming.
That's what's coming.
If this immoral bill passed and other predictable outcomes. Let's go to Indiana. Caitlin, you're on with Joe Scott and Bob Enyart.
Hi. My brother told me to call.
Sure.
I have a question about, but it's not even about abortion or anything.
Yeah.
I am talking with a friend, and we got onto the discussion of polygamy in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And he, like, went kind of, just this last message he sent me, kind of went into the contradictions in the Bible, supposedly.
Yes.
And he asked me about Moses and how, when they brought him, the people that they had captured during one of the wars, and they had the women, and he said, why didn't you kill these women? And he said, take the virgins and keep them for yourselves, but kill the rest of them and the children?
Yes.
Okay. He's saying that he's contradicting himself in that, because, you know, in the Ten Commandments, and thou shalt not kill, and then also not to covet thy neighbor's wife and all that stuff.
Right.
And so he's asking me, he basically said that God didn't give scriptures for men to write, but rather men...
Men made these things
right
up, so the scriptures are a misogynist teaching, men who just want to use women for their own benefit.
Right, exactly.
So, all right, let's talk through this, and Joe, if you have any thoughts to add, but for starters, Caitlin, his premise... If it were true that men made up these rules of sexual immorality,
mm-hmm,
then the Bible would say that men could have sex with any woman that they could get their hands on.
Okay.
Instead, the Bible says that fornication is a sin, that adultery is a sin, and that you are to wait until marriage before you have physical relations,
mm-hmm,
and that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So if he was right, men would say you could have any woman that you can get, and you could use her for as long as she interests you, and then you could dump her.
Right.
So the sexual teachings in the Bible were revolutionary toward the respect and care of women. In fact, in the Roman Empire, if there was a criminal trial, women couldn't testify because they were considered like property. And Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, taught us that men and women are made in God's image and his likeness. And Paul said, we husbands should be able to give our lives, should be willing to give our lives for our wives.
Right.
So, and that's why women overwhelmingly throughout Europe embrace Christianity, because it brought a profound respect and a value, eternal value, to each woman.
Nice.
So,
okay.
So then we go back to some difficult passages in the Hebrew Scriptures. And at our website, kgov.com, we have an article titled Polygamy in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've seen that too.
Polygamy, you've seen that?
Yeah, I sent it to him, actually. I sent the link. To
oh, you
box.
Did. Cool. Because there's also a debate in here with one of the nation's most well-known polygamists, a Mormon, Leland Freeborn.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And if you click on that, you could actually hear the debate.
Nice.
And it went extremely well. When we look back in the Old Testament, we look at slavery, we look at polygamy, and we're horrified because we think, you know, this could not possibly be acceptable. When we look at incest, like Abraham married his sister.
Right.
And we think, well, that's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God had taught that you could marry your sister or your close relative. That's how he intended procreation to occur,
right,
after he made Adam and Eve. But eventually, because of the effects of sin, it became dangerous, even deadly,
mm-hmm,
to commit incest. And so by the time of Moses, God prohibited incest, and you could not marry a close relative. Well, with slavery, we have an article, Slavery in the Bible, and polygamy in the Bible. In the ancient culture of the Old Testament, not only in the Middle East, but around the world, survival was nearly impossible.
Mm-hmm.
The world was extremely hostile. There was wanton crime. Raping and pillaging was not just a cliche.
Right.
And women were only able to survive in three ways, women on their own. They survived if they were a daughter in their father's house, a wife in their husband's house, or a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the only ways that women survived. And so it's hard for us to comprehend today, but we spent 3 weeks in Turkey, touring Turkey, and our Turkish tour guide, Bora Ozkak, he was so proud that their country, about 60 years ago, said that women could inherit property. They were so proud of that, because yeah, they're Muslims. And we said, well, that's pretty neat, but Ataturk, when he said that, that was about 3,500 years after God told Moses to put that in the Bible, that women could inherit property.
Right.
So that was a little slow, but you guys got there on that one. So, okay.
That's funny.
So it's very difficult for us to see, Caitlin, mm-hmm, that what led to death in the ancient world, God, out of compassion, permitted polygamy. So that women could survive. By the time you get to the New Testament, he prohibits polygamy.
Right.
That's in that article, Polygamy in the Bible. And there's so many examples like this, and we're sadly out of time.
Okay.
But, Caitlin, maybe you could call back, and we'll talk about this more.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Caitlin. Joe Scott, thank you for joining us about Colorado's bill yesterday. Your husband was a hero.
Uh-huh, he
Ken
was.
Scott. And Mike Pence in Indiana, he's not.
He's not.